Okay, cool. Yay.
Yay.
Welcome to the second edition of the Podcast Book Club. How's it going?
Pretty good. I have to say, I'm pretty excited to talk about this
book. Oh my God, me too. So full disclosure, I read this afternoon.
Yep. first of all, let's clarify. We read Shards of Honor.
By Lois McMaster-Bujold.
Which is... By publication order number one, by chronological order number two.
Yes. And so. Apparently, we did this sort of backwards. Apparently, this is now published as Cordelia's Honor in like a two-part edition. So part one is usually Shards of Honor, and then part two is Beriar, which is the third book.
Okay.
But I feel fine with the way that it happened. So I literally don't care. So
yep, totally fine. We'll just read that one next.
Yes, yes. So yeah, I liked this. Well, do we want to talk a little bit about the plot first?
Sure.
Well, we can give a little summary.
You know, for those of you who listen to this without having read the book, because you're weirdos.
well, you know, it just assume that there are spoilers.
Yeah.
But so this one, Shards of Honor, follows Cordelia. What's her?
Naismith. I remember because Naismith. Half of it is the same as my last name.
follows Commander/Captain Cordelia Naismith, who is a sometimes captain, sometimes like science officer.
Yeah.
For
a surveyor.
For the planet Beta, I guess is what it is. Who is sort of in conflict/Cold War with this other planet called Beriar, which is very militaristic.
I am very interested to hear how you pronounce that, because that is not how I said it.
How are you saying it?
Beriar.
Yeah, I was like Beriar.
Yeah, it's I pronounced it like four different ways while reading this book.
And like, so
science fiction,
made up words. So she is on this planet, and you know, doing a thing, and her little science expedition is attacked by a Beriarin. Beriarin.
It's just, an enemy team.
And then she ends up having to team up with one of those, with the sort of leader of that group.
Gets taken prisoner by.
Yes, with
Aral Vorkosigan.
Aral Vorkosigan. You know, over the course of the book, they, spoiler alert, fall in love.
Yeah.
And also go to war. And that's really kind of the whole plot.
That's the whole plot.
You know, there's sort of like aims that they're each trying to go for. But
honestly, the only stakes of the war are whether they will survive and get together.
It's
the only reason you care.
You care. And you also care because, like, I was genuinely like, oh my God, is Vorkosigan going to, like, kill himself at the end of this? Like, is he gonna get through it? I mean, the whole Shards of Honor thing, you know, honor is like a huge theme of the book, you know, who's an honorable person, what's an honorable act. But really, I just wanted to like mash their faces together like fandom style, like now kiss forever.
That was exactly what I was thinking, and therefore subsequently tweeted. I am exactly the reader that the sad puppies are mad about, because I'm reading this space opera and going, now kiss.
But I mean, one of the things I liked about it is that the sort of political situation was very complex, but that you actually don't really know that much about it.
No.
But you're still able to glean from sort of world building how, you know, how things
work.
What the lay of the land is.
It's,
And who you should root for, really.
Yeah.
So.
And it has, well, I mean, part of that is because we're seeing it through Cordelia's eyes. But, and fortunately, Vorkosigan agrees with her in many ways. And disagrees with her in many other ways. But the thing that I was going to say about the world building is it feels very lived in. She doesn't like sit down and explain, here's what the political situation is. It's just, it unfolds really well.
And there are all these little things that are just like, there's something called Jackson's Hole, Whole. And I was like, I want to know what that is.
Yep.
That sounds fucking awesome. Is it like Wyoming in space? Like, what does that mean? I think that, you know, the only other place I've really seen that kind of stuff done, that kind of, like, political world building done lately is in, like, the fifth season, or to a certain extent in the Captive Prince series, where you're just, like, one person is sort of just does not know stuff, and the other person knows a lot of stuff. But what I liked about Cordelia, well, one of the many things I love about
everything.
Cordelia.
What I liked about Cordelia was everything.
is that she was not, she was never passive. Like, even in situations where it seemed like she was just sort of, like, waiting for Kozenigan to, like, come back to the room. Like, you know, there was still, like, she was still, like, thinking about stuff and you know, mulling things over. And, oh, my God, that last, the last, like, 45 pages were the most stressed out I think I've ever been reading a book.
Really?
I was just like, oh, my God, these psychologists are evil.
Yes.
Like, they fucking drugged her without her permission. And, like,
and it's also, like, but there's a, I thought it actually did a pretty good job of making you fear that she had been sort of brainwashed, because we've seen it happen to other people.
We have, but I didn't,
I wasn't convinced by it.
I was,
but it was
never
like
convinced.
Just a little bit of worry.
I was never worried about it, though. Weirdly, I wasn't worried about it because I was so on her side.
Yes.
And she was so convinced that she hadn't been.
Yes.
And also, like, having seen all of their moments together, I was just like,
it's like, I'm also deeply invested in this relationship.
Yeah,
and I
like,
need it to not
she
be a lie.
Is brainwashed, I like don't care at this point. But like, I mean, I obviously do care deeply. But you know, it's sort of like, oh God, it's so good. So I was taking pictures. I do this thing where I haven't been sort of coordinated enough to like have a pen with me when I'm reading these days. So I've been taking pictures of like the screen, and I went through on the subway and like screenshotted some of my favorite quotes.
Oh.
The writing is so good.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's so good.
It is breezy and smart and really engaging. You just sort of blow through it, and it's also done like very carefully. Everything. So, because it's so, it tells you so much about Cordelia without telling you anything about her.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Well, I thought it was really interesting that it wasn't until, like, the end that anyone asks her if she's, like, a religious person.
Mm.
You know, because she's a theist.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just like, that's so interesting because once you know that, it is clear that she is sort of operating from this, like, moral code, you know, standpoint, even if she doesn't come out and says, well, you know,
God
Space
says.
Jesus says that you should not murder all those people because it would be bad. And I love that she never sort of, like, shies away from, like, the realities of, like, what decisions mean. Like, the whole, like, so fucking horrifying that the Emperor was like, I know, we'll just kill a whole lot of people to cover up the deaths of, like, these 12 people.
Yes. I need to murder my son. Therefore, the best way to do this is to kill 5,000 people.
But I really don't want him to be shamed in the process. I mean, and yeah, the whole thing about honor.
And what the different things that it means to both of them was also really interesting.
And, I mean, one of my favorite things, I think, was from the very beginning of the book, was when he says, she and Vorkosigan are on sort of, like, this terrible death march to, like, this cache of supplies, and she's sort of schlepping her injured comrade who's been, you know, sort of irrevocably damaged by one of the Beryarin's weapons. But he says, your customs seem so free and calm to me, as innocent as sunlight. No grief, no pain, no irrevocable mistakes, no boys turned criminal by fear, no stupid jealousy, no honor ever lost. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm going to cry in a corner. Like, what did the military do to you?
But that was also, that whole march is why, like, I was reading this march that takes place over, like, what, 75 pages, maybe?
It's like 100. Like, it's a long-ass fucking...
It is, but it's not even half the book.
No.
But it's just, so they're, like, trekking across the surface of this uninhabited planet, and you just see the way that they begin to rely on each other without asking for anything, and the way they sort of, like, trust each other to do the necessary things.
Even within, like, the bounds of their distrust.
Yeah.
Where she's like, I really dislike that I am trusting him right now, but if I kill him, which I very much could, then I will never find out where the supplies are, and me and my addle-pated friend here are gonna die.
Yeah.
And possibly, you know, get eaten by these giant crab things.
the floating vampire jellyfish.
That's what I liked a lot. I mean, one of the things I liked a lot better about this book is that there was less sort of, like, splainy science. Mm. I think that the splainy science of Falling Free kind of had me, I was like, I like this, but it's not like, now that, I felt like that was more about sort of like stuff and this was about people.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. Which is interesting, I was going to say, because it's the hero in Falling Free, whose name I have now inevitably forgotten. He's an engineer.
Meanwhile, I've been writing Cordelia and Errol, like, on my, you know, fucking notebooks all day.
Doodling hearts.
Hearts. Cordelia Vorkaskin.
I was mad shipper heart.
Just oh, my God.
Delighted. Delighted by it.
Did you see that tweet from, like, I think his name is, I think his name is Kevin Nguyen. He's like a tech guy. Mm. It's like the obsession with like shipping product in technology is ridiculous. Also, I keep wanting to remind people that you can only ship to people who you wish were in a relationship. Who you wish were in love or something. I gotta find the exact wording, but it was so cute.
Accurate. But yeah, I was also sort of blown away because that doesn't happen to me that often that I'm just like, we're 50 pages in. I'm like, if these two people don't get together by the end, I'm going to be so upset.
Because, I mean, there's such respect.
Yes.
How
I was really into their...
Yeah. My favorite, I think, is the... I mean, this is also, like, one of... I mean, you know how hard I love fucking Peter Wimsey and Harriet Vane.
Yes.
This is probably my second favorite literary proposal of all time.
Yes.
So he's like, you know, I'm like only moderately sorry that you're actually my prisoner, but you know, so he sort of is like, you know, would you like to come back and as Lady Vorkosigan? And you're just like, yes, but it's too early in the book. It's too easy.
No.
And then she's like, but what? And he's like,
that's giving up a lot, going over to the enemy.
He says, you should have the best. I'm hardly that, you must know by now, but at least I can offer you the best that I have. Dear Commander, am I too sudden by Baton standards? I've been waiting for days for the right opportunity, but there never seemed to be one. Given that they've been, like, he's been, like, hallucinating on painkillers, and, like, they've been attacked by these crab things. Like, not having the right time is sort of, like, the understatement of the fucking century.
And he says he knew one.
Oh, no, but that is, I screenshotted the whole conversation.
Oh, naturally.
She says, days? How long have you been thinking along these lines? It first occurred to me when I saw you in the ravine. What, throwing up in the mud? He grinned at that. With great composure, by the time we finished burying your officer, I knew. And I was just oh my God. I've just been making, like, incoherent sounds and flailing and clawing at my own face for, like, the whole afternoon.
I got this as an ebook on my phone, and so I've been mostly reading it on the subway, and I'm sure I'm just, like, sitting there giggling and, like, grinning madly at my phone.
Because even, like, pages. I mean, and I mean, I sort of, like, we're giving this sort of, like, a sort of lighter tone than it is, because it's incredibly dark, especially, like, there's this really extended sequence where you're, like, 100% sure she's gonna get, like, brutally raped by either the evil commander or this other guy that she was sort of half friends with who has been brainwashed by the evil commander. So you're just like, oh my God.
This is not good.
Oh my God. So, yeah. I love it so much.
I know.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's also, I mean, not to bring it back to my favorite couple, but it's also got one of the best sort of, like, late-breaking PTSD descriptions I've read in, you know, in fiction. Because at the end, she's sort of, like, gotten through, like, not one, but two sort of harrowing ordeals in space. You know, she's been, you know, nearly sexually assaulted and, like, definitely injured and, you know, probably separated from the love of her life forever. And she keeps getting followed by sort of, like, who are they? They're, like, the psychological sort of testing services. Yeah. Only it becomes...
The psychologists.
And, like, there's this horrifying scene when they get back to her planet and, like... There's this whole, like, press conference, and she's, like, ushered in to get a medal and is told to give a speech, and she's, like...
By surprise,
and she's stuttering and freaking out and going, like, could we not do this?
Like, everything about this is awful. I just want to go home and go to bed.
And when she sort of realizes, like, there is no way I can stay and go... I can't go through this. Like, like, there is no home for me here anymore.
Which I think she had to do, because that's the reason she hesitates at the beginning to say yes. It's not that she doesn't want to marry him. It's that she can't give up her home and her family and everything. And then she gets to the point where she has to.
So I was actually saying earlier that it's... But I was just saying that I really wish that we had had you read this book beforehand, because it's like... I mean, it's like Peter Wimsey, Harriet Vane level, like, relish goals. Like, it makes me so happy. I was just, like, reading the proposal scene aloud.
So great.
But, the second book in the book?
This is the second book in the series. It was the first one that she wrote. Mm-hmm. So,
Was it her first book?
I think so. Bitch. It's like, amazing. This is so good. So... our guest Mika has joined us right now, so we're gonna finish up the book club discussion. But I guess we don't have any. I didn't see any questions on Twitter about it.
SH Book Club hashtag.
But you know, what are your, so having read now both Falling Free and Shards of Honor, like, what would your, like, theory for, like, the universe be for, like, where it's going? Because I have no idea.
I don't know. I kept trying to figure out. I suppose she wrote this so much earlier than Falling Free that obviously we can't really have a full sense of what it is. But I did wonder, I couldn't remember any of the names because this is my fatal flaw as a reader.
The guy with the place the guy, and the thing.
And the place and the place that they went. But I
and
wondered.
The space, you know? The space.
I wondered if the people that Vorkosigan did not want to have slaughtered, the thing that he was known as for the Butcher of Kamar, the people he did not want to have killed, I wondered if they were the Quaddies.
That would be interesting to know.
Because they said it was like a small rock, isolated rock.
But they were living in, like, self-contained cities, and it feels like the gravity thing would be, like, unless it was a...
Unless it was a planet without gravity.
I mean, it's a good theory, but
I don't know. That was a passing thought I had while reading.
Well, you're wrong. So let me find my other favorite, like, quotes from the book because I screenshotted them like a dork.
I really liked the one at the end where he said, like, it's, you know, it's the last page where he says that he reveals that he described her as, like, a fountain of honor.
Oh my god, I also screenshotted that.
Naturally. It's so great.
Yeah. He wanted to know what I saw in you. I told him, he paused again and then continued almost shyly, that you poured out honor like a fountain all around you. That's weird. I don't feel full of honor or anything else except maybe confusion. Naturally not. Fountains keep nothing for themselves.
Love it. I love it so much.
Oh my god. The look that Mika's doing us right now is amazing. She's like, I don't know what to think about this. Right?
You might have your heart is touched.
I really, it's only 230 pages. It's
a very quick read.
You can borrow my copy if you want.
It's like comedy of manners / romance in space.
Slash also, like, it's, I mean, one of the reasons we'll talk about it later when we get to your part, but this struggle, God knows, has no honor in it, but exile for no other motive than ease. That would be to give up all hope of honor. The last defeat with no seed of future victory in it.
It's like, this is also, I really like profoundly practical people.
Yes.
As characters. They're just like, this is why I sort of started shipping them so hard right from the beginning, is because they're like, well, we're going to survive, and also... My, you look dashing when you're butchering that wild animal that we've just killed.
Also, man, when you have a bath, you look awesome. You look good when you're not dying from some kind of weird sepsis from being attacked by some weird scavenger creature.
And the fact that he just sort of, like, sits down and is like, well, I think that we should probably get married.
And she's come, like, back with Lady, and she's like, oh, again. Fuck, I agree. Crap.
That's just like, oh, whoops. The first, I've accidentally fallen in love. Going first, to treat it like any other problem ever.
The first 75 pages are basically, oh, no, he's hot. Well, any closing thoughts on Shards of Honor other than OTP Cordelia Arral?
I have to say, I am very disappointed now to realize that we only get one more book with them.
Oh, my God.
And then
because it's Miles Vorkosigan.
Their son, yeah. Which is fine, but, like, Cordelia. I just want
Cordelia.
All the Cordelia books. Oh, my God.
So great. I concur. Those are also my thoughts. So the next book in the series is Barrayar. B-A-R-A.
Two R's.
B-A-R-R-A-Y-A-R. If you have purchased the two-part Cordelia's Honor volume. It's the second part of the book.
Yes.
I think it is also about 250 pages, which I really appreciate.
Which is also interesting because it seems like it's going to be very political. And, you know, nowadays when people write giant political novels, they're like 1,000 pages long.
Beale Stevens. Sorry. I don't know what happened. just a seizure or something. So we will announce the date for when that is recorded at some future point. But in the meantime, thank you for following along and listening. And remember, if you are going to talk about the books, use the SH Book Club hashtag. And thanks. Podcast Bye. Book Club. Woo.